Okay, let's begin. Divayam Beis Perigimel Pasik Yud Dalit. Vayas es haparoiches techeles viargamon vicharmil ubutz vayal olav kruvim. Now we have the parochas. The parochas is mavdol between the kodesh and the kodesh hakodeshim. We have to keep in mind that in the Bayis Rishon there was a wall and a door. It's not like the Bayis Sheni when we had the amotraxin. In the Bayis Sheni there were two curtains that were an amah apart that separated between the kodesh and the kodesh hakodeshim. In the Bayis Rishon there were not two curtains. There was a wall that separated between the kodesh and the kodesh hakodeshim, and there was a door with a mezuzah, with, you know, the whole thing, and in the door was a curtain. Now it's not clear when they opened the door. It's very clear in Sefer Melachim that there was a door, and in the door, after opened the door, they had a parochas. And that indeed is one of the minhagim, one of the reasons why many have the minhag in the shul. Most shuls they have two. They have both a curtain and they have a parochas. It's a zecher for the Bayis Rish, not for the Bayis Sheni. Because inside, what is our Sefer Torah correspond to? The Sefer Torah in the Beis HaKnesses corresponds to the Aron. The Aron is the whole Aron represents the Torah. So what goes in front of the Aron? Two things. A door and the parochas. Where do you put the parochas? Does the parochas go on the inside, or does the parochas go on the outside? It's that famous meaning between the Sfaradim and the Ashkenazim. The Ashkenazim put the parochas on the outside, and the Sfaradim put the parochas on the inside. But in the days of Hamikdash and the Bayis Rishon, they were both there. There was a door that led into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and after they opened up the door, it's not really clear, was the parochas on the inside or the outside? I don't know, maybe that's what the question is. There was the parochas. Now, in the Bayis Sheni, it was not possible. The structure of the Bayis Sheni was different than the Bayis Rishon. The Bayis Sheni was taller. It was 40 amos. It was at the height of the ceiling was 40 amos, whereas in the Bayis Rishon the height was 30 and 20. In other words, let's explain. In the Bayis Rishon there was a different height, ceiling height for the Kodesh HaKodashim and for the Kodesh. The Kodesh, the ceiling of the Kodesh HaKodashim was 20. So it's like a box, 20 length, 20 width, and 20 in height. And the Kodesh was a height of 30. It was 40 long, 20 wide, and a height of 30. And so being that the height of the Kodesh was 30, and the height of the Kodesh HaKadoshim was lower, was 20, so, and then they had second stories, which ultimately reached a height of 120 amos, if we learned, like, one of the interpretations, that when it says 120 refers to the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadoshim, that was other stories. But being that the ceiling was not all that high, they were able to have a wall that was one amma thick, separating between the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and have a door with a door in the center. And in the door was a curtain. However, in the Bayis Sheni, there was a standard height of 40 amos for the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadoshim. A wall which could not be more than one amma thick, according to the dimensions of the Beis Hamikdash, would not stand at a height of 40 amos. If you would want to build a wall to reach a ceiling height, to go to a ceiling without any other support, just a wall going up until the ceiling of 40 amos, which is between 60 and 80 feet, then you would need its thickness to be significant. One amma would not be enough to keep the wall, so they had no choice but to make two curtains. They would have just made one curtain, but they did not know the status of that one amma. Does that one amma have the status of Kodesh, or does that one amma have the status of Kodesh HaKodashim? Because it cannot be determined, they made two curtains, which marked off the area of where that wall was. So let me at this point, while once we're talking about this, let me tell you an incredible gra, beautiful, beautiful gra, which explains why the height of the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKodashim was different in the Bayis Rishon, whereas in the Bayis Sheni was the same. And it really ties into what we spent a lot of time yesterday discussing why, when we discussed the Kodesh HaKodashim, we discussed the dimensions with width was flush against the length of the of the Kodesh. We did not say like it's length against length. It was length against width. Let's explain. There is a Gemara. I don't know where the Gemara is. Maybe it's in Pesachim. I mean, maybe it's in above Mitzia. The Gemara talks about if you sign a contract to build someone a house. You're a contractor. And you discuss the dimensions. It's going to be, let's say it's going to be 100. Let's just give, it's going to be 50 amos long and 30 amos wide. Okay, for argument's sake, that's what the contract says. I'm going to build you a room, I'm going to build you a house. It's 50 amos in length, 30 amos in width. And for whatever reason, they forget to, in the contract, to write down the height. How tall will the ceiling reach? And the contractor builds the house, and the buyer complains in Beis Din that the height is not tall enough. I expected the height should be all the way up, who knows how high. And the contractor says, ridiculous, I can't go afford to go build a ceiling.
It's insupportable.
What? Okay, but even in a situation where it is supportable, let's say we have a situation where you can't find support. So what is the halacha? What happens when you forget to fill in the contract the height of the structure? So the Gemara says that it's a standard rule in construction that was accepted in the time of Chazal. Height equals half of the combined width and length. So in this example where the contract states the length of the structure will equal 50 amos and the width is 30, so 50 plus 30 equals 80. What is half of 80? 40. So that's the standard rule. If it does not specify, in other words, the contractor is obligated to build a structure with a height of 40 amos.
In other words, the height is midway between the length and width.
Well, it depends. I mean, it all depends. There are many variables because, you know, you can have a room that's very, very long and very narrow. Okay, there are many variables, but this is the rule of thumb. The basic rule is the ceiling equals half of the combined width and length. Now, the Gemara takes that as it's an incredible idea for the Gemara says, and opens up a whole new understanding in the difference in the Bayis Rishon and the Bayis Sheni. And he says that's why in the Bayis Rishon there was a difference of height between the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadoshim, 20-30, and in the Bayis Sheni it was a standard 40 for both the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadoshim. What's the difference? So here's the Gemara. In the Bayis Rishon, the Kodesh HaKadoshim and the Kodesh were two completely separate rooms. One had nothing to do with the other, seemingly because the Kodesh HaKodashim, we had an Aron. Like we discussed yesterday, you can't compare, it's not just the Kodesh HaKodashim is more holy. There's holy, and there's more holy. Just slide the dimmer a little bit more to increase the light. That's not how it is. You can't even compare. They're in different leagues. It's a different world. You're going into a different world when you go into the Kodesh HaKodashim. Two separate rooms. Oh, we have two separate rooms, so now let's look at the Kodesh HaKadoshim. What were its dimensions? Its dimensions were 20 by 20. So 20 plus 20 equals 40. What is half of 40? 20. So what is the ceiling height of the Kodesh HaKadoshim in the Bayis Rishon? 20. Bayis Sheni. The Kodesh. What are the dimensions of the Kodesh? 40 by 20. What is 40 plus 20? 60. What is half of 60? 30. Simple. Two separate rooms. Each room's ceiling was half of its combined width and length. Now, let's fast forward 500 years. 480 years later. 480 years later, Bayis Sheni. There's no Aron. There are no Kruvim. There's no Kapiris. There's none of these things. Basically, the Kodesh HaKadosh is a big empty room. How do we look at the Heichel?
It's one
big room. It's like, you know, you go to a wedding hall. Go to a wedding hall and they roll in the mechitza, right? They don't build a separate room for the men. Some people would like that. Have a separate room for the men and a separate room for the women. Have nothing to do with each other. Nothing. I'm sure you've seen the photos of an Eretz Yisrael. Even under the chuppah, they have a mechitza. Did you see that?
In the chuppah.
Under the chuppah itself has a mechitza. Shocking. It's not a kosher chuppah.
Yesterday, the Masada Kedushim made them rewrite the ksuba because one of the witnesses voted for
Russia.
He called him, he said, he's a Moiser.
Shocking.
And he made him rewrite the whole ksuba.
Shocking. Okay, but there's one big room. There's one big room. If you go to a wedding hall, it's one big room. And you roll in. You roll in a couple of partitions. If it's one big room, what are the dimensions of this one big room? Including the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadoshim. It is a total of 60. 40 plus 20 is 60 by 20. What is 60 plus 20? 80. What is half 80? 40. Uniform height. It's 40. The entire thing is 40. Okay, so therefore, because the entire thing is 40, in the Bayis Sheni, the Chazal tell us it was impossible to build a wall dividing the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadoshim with a thickness of one amma that would reach a height of 40 amos. Therefore, they had no choice but to put two curtains to represent that one amma. It's incredible. So what do we take out of this gra? Is that in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, it wasn't two rooms. It's an incredible insight. People don't think of it like this. So this is a gra. I once told this gra to a person who, two things about this person. He knows everything. He's a genius. And number two, he never ever comments. You can tell him, you know, you can sit by a shir. He'll sit there by a shul. He'll do his own thing. He'll never, ever, ever comment on something that's going on. And I once was at Shalosh Shuris. We were only a few people at the Shalosh Shuris. And I said over this stuff in the gra. And this person was so shaken up by this gra. He broke his custom. He actually came out of his shell and he made some comments like, wow, that's a fascinating insight. The difference between the Bayis Rishon, the Bayis Sheni, the Bayis Rishon, it's two separate rooms. The Bayis Sheni, it's one big room with a 21st century lechitza. They roll in to separate one from the other. And that's why the height of the ceiling is completely different. And that difference has a nafka mina. Were they able to build a wall with a door in between one and the other? The Bayis Rishon, yes. Because the height of 20, you can build a nice wall. It's one amma thick, a door with the parochas. And the Bayis Sheni, you could not. And that's why you have to have two curtains. When we, Bizman Hazeh, have a minuk, it's nothing more than a minuk to have on the Aron Kodesh, a parochas, and a door to have both. It comes, according to many of the Mefarshim, the Poiskim, who discuss these things, L'choira. No one really knows certainly where the minuk comes from, but it seems to come from the Bayis Rishon, which had both a door and a paroches. Where was the paroches? Where was the door? That's the big issue. And that's nafkamina, svarim nashkenazim. Halacha l'maisa, do you have to have both?
No.
So no, not mochoch. It's only a minhag. It's only a minhag to have both. In some places, they like a Yom Kippur. Many shuls in Yom Kippur, Yom Leroyim, they don't even bother with the door. They just open up the doors. And they leave the doors somehow, different types of, it all depends on the Aron Kodesh, where the doors can be open full time and they just only use the curtain.
That's so convenient.
Right. So how far does it go? How far does it go in the minute? You know, there's a door and there's a parochas. And let's say you have a shul that doesn't have a parochas, can't afford to buy a parochas. So I remember once in my father's shul, they were davening temporarily in a different location. And they didn't have a parochas for a very long time.
They don't have a parochas, they only have a door.
Where? No, they have now. They're in the upstairs?
Upstairs?
No, they do have inside, they have a parochas. Inside, like the Sfardim. They have a parochas. But there was another tkuva. So my father asked Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, my uncle, Rabbi Soloveitchik, Rav Elio Soloveitchik, who said, listen, he told me he doesn't know the answer, but one thing you can tell him is that Rav Aaron Soloveitchik in Brisk, in Chicago, for many, many years, in his minyan, there was no parochas. There was just. They also didn't have the money, so they just had a door. So Rav Aaron, it was good enough for Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. It's good enough. It's good enough for us. The minyan obviously is not such a very strong minyan. Okay, obviously it's a beautiful thing to have a parochas. But that's where it comes from, and that's the difference, that's an interesting insight, and this idea fits very well with what we learned yesterday, that we see the Kodesh HaKadoshim is such a separate room, it has a different ceiling height, and that's why the pasuk indicates that it's even its width and length are not going to be the same lined up with the width and length of the Kodesh. Just for beauty, yoifi, when you go up and take out the Sefer Torah. I don't think there's any din of steps. Is there any din of having steps of sharnikinar? I do not know if there's any significance of having steps. Maybe there is some makar for it. But most of the time, most of these things are just a matter of convenience, a matter of what's available, a matter of style, and
the style when they not everyone had a bima in the middle.
When the bima was in the front. Could be.
So you could see
or the rav. Yeah, but when the rav would darshan before the parochas, you'd have to be in a higher position. That's not halacha. That's just convenience. I don't know if there is such a thing. Okay. Yes.
So, Kohen Gadol once a year.
That's it.
Was there a secure? Was there a lax on the Kodesh Kedoshim? Was there a secure?
Doesn't say anywhere if they were doing. There were locks going into the Kodesh. You couldn't get into the Kodesh. You couldn't get into the shul. You can get maybe once you're in shul, you can open up the aron. There were no locks on the aron getting into the Kodesh Kedoshim, but there were locks on the heichal. The heichal every single day was locked and opened.
So you had steps going up to the heichal. That's what they were.
There were steps going to the ulam. There were steps going up to the ulam. There were how many steps? After a certain number of steps. No, that's the 15 steps going to the azar, the shar nikanar. The 15 steps was the shar. That's the duchan. Those were three steps. That's in the azara. There were three steps separating between the Ezras Yisrael, the Ezras Kohen. That's the first 11 amos. 11 amos into the azara is where the levim stood on the duchan, and that there was a duchan. There were three steps. That's by the Ezras Kohanim. But then there were steps going up to the ulam. Only a few steps. I don't remember the number of steps. Not 15 steps. Just a few steps. And then there were. They have it over here. This picture. This picture. Yeah, here's the picture. They have here 15. Maybe you're right. There were 15 steps. You're right. This picture has the steps. Okay, you're right. Maybe there are 15 steps. 1, 2, 3. I can't count. So small. But the main steps that we are familiar with were the steps leading up to the Azara and Shar Nikanar and the Ezras Noshim. And the Ezras Noshim, there were 15 steps going up where they played the musical instruments. They played on the Simchas Beis HaShoeva. There are 15 steps going up to the ulam. Okay, the ulam is in front of the kodesh. Then the kodesh hakodesh. Remember,
you couldn't go into the ulam unless you.
Right, you go up. The ulam is a small area. It's only 10 amos. Only 10 amos long. You know, no one was allowed to go in. The only one who goes in there are the kohanim. Only a kohen go in there b'shah when they bring the lechem upon him and the menorah. That's it. And the ketores. They went in there every single day to do those three things. So, and not the shulchan tefillos once a week, but the menorah and the ketores every single day. Otherwise, no one went in there. No one went into the heichal. There was no reason to go into the heichal, only for these things. So we have here pasuk gedal gein vayas. The person was made from tchelus argamon. The caramel is tolashani. That's the same ulam before tolashani. That's red. Ubutz linen. Now that's something that's new. That's not something that we mentioned. This is alav to piruach hakodesh. That's we don't have any other proches in. The paroches morning, the paroches in the Mishkan, there is no mention of sheish. I'm sorry, I take it back. There is sheish. Telashani v'sheish moshzar. I'm sorry, sheish moshzar is linen. Linen, which each chut was made from six. So that's butz. Butz is another word for linen. I'm sorry. So we have here exactly the same thing we have in the Beis HaMikdash. And it says here also, vayalol of kruvim, and they embroidered kruvim into the texture of the paroches that was mavel between the kodesh and the kodesh kodeshim, similar to the paroches in the Mishkan. Let's look at the pasuk Yudal in the Mitzudos David es paroches mul pesach beis kodesh kodeshim v'im shehoyu sham delosos. Although there were doors, don't make any mistake about that, the Mitzvah says. You have to always remember, learn everything here that it says here in reference what it says in Sefer Melachim. Kimashakosav Lamatul, it says later on, we'll come to that in a moment. Uvim Melachim Aleph. Nevertheless, there was still a paroches together with the door. Vayal Tsiolav Kruvim Bamasarekim. They embroidered the image of Kruvim on this beautiful paroches. Pasuk Yudalid in Rashi. Rashi, short Rashi, Vayasas, Peroches, Tchil, Shagamon, Vitola al Hadeles. They hung the Peroches upon the door. Okay, Shahoya Ba'amot Teraxin, which was Shabda'amot Teraxin, Shabon Nichnosim, Lefnai, Velefnim, which was the same location that was what was what we call in the Bayis Sheni the Amot Teraksin. This was the separation between the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Shibonik Lassim Lufnaiv Lufnim, Avopi Shahoyi Boy Deloso, same like he says over there as the Mitzvahs, even though there were doors, Tololov Kalamon, Pesach Abayis, Talsoiso, Panimim, Le Kodesh HaKadoshim, it's clear as day that there were doors, but in addition, there was also a small paroches by that door. Okay, Vayalov Kuvim, Tsiri Kuvim, they also embroidered Kuvim upon this paroches. Pasik Tes Vav. Now we come to the Amudim, the pictures, the illustrations I've given you. They made in front of the Ulam two massive pillars with what we call capitals. Okay, capitals on top of the pillars. And remember, we have three different chambers. At the extreme end is the Kodesh HaKadoshim, 20 by 20. In front of the Kodesh HaKadoshim is the Kodesh. Is the chamber where it's 40 by 20. In that Kodesh is where you have the Shulchan and the Menorah and the Mizbeach HaKetores. And then we have, going to the very end, the beginning is the Ulam. The Ulam is a little chamber. It's 10 amos deep by 20 amos wide, exactly flush with the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadoshim. In the Ulam, as you come to the Ulam, in between the Ulam and the Kodesh, obviously there was a door. There was a door, there was an archway, and there was a door going from the Ulam into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and on the two sides of the door were two massive pillars. Each pillar, we'll see in a moment, was approximately 18 amos tall, either 17 and a half amos or 18 amos, and on top of the pillars were these beautiful designer crowns, which we call here a capital, like a cap, something which caps the pillar. And let me just explain to you a little bit outside. Let's go. Mizbeach HaNechoshes inside the Heichal. Mizbeach HaZov was inside the Heichal, and Mizbeach HaNechoshes was outside. You can see the picture
in the ten by twenty.
No. Which Mizbeach are you referring to?
The Zov. No, the one you did the
Karbonos on. That was out in the Azara. That's massive. That's 28 Amos by 28 Amos in the Bayis Rishon.
So that was
downstairs. That was in the Azara. That was in, there's a big, big room called the Azara.
We need
a different picture. Okay, after. Here is another picture. Here's another picture. This I really want to save for later. Okay, let me pass this around. Let me just pass this around. More wired up here. Okay. This is for later, but we'll look at it now. We have a big room. Okay, this big massive room. In this big massive room, most of it's empty space. In the middle, or towards one side, was this structure called the Bayis. Which included three things: the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Azara, and the Ulam. Like you see in this picture, on the left side, that one?
Yes.
You see here the Mizbeach. Okay, you see the Mizbeach? You see this big open area? It's an outdoor area, there's no ceiling. It's a big open area. You see there on the extreme left, Ezras Yisrael. The first 11 amos is where Yisraelim are allowed to come and watch. Then there are three steps up. That area is where the Levim stood when they sang Shira. And then there's another area of 11 amos where Kohanim, it's called the Ezras Kohanim, the Kohanim would walk there. And then you come to the Mizbeach. The Mizbeach was massive. Massive. You see the Mizbeach there, and you see there in this picture, you see it all the way towards the wall, this thing called the Yam Shel Shlomo, which only exists in the Bayis Rishon, which we'll discuss a little later on. And then after the Mizbeach, there was a small little space, and then you have these steps which lead up into the Ulam. After the Ulam comes the Kodesh, and then comes the Kodesh HaKadoshim.
So what did they use the Ulam?
Nothing. It was just an antechamber. It was just a hallway into the Kodesh. And there was nothing in the Ulam. The Ulam was a very, very small room. It's only 10 amos deep.
It's 30 feet. It's 30 by...
It's 20, not more than 20 feet. Between 15 and 20 feet. An am is not more than 2 feet. It's between 1.5 and 2 feet. So it's not more than 20 feet deep. and then you come into the Kodesh, which is 40 amos steep, and then comes the Kodesh HaKadoshim, which is 20 amos steep. The Ulam, there was nothing there, it was just a lobby. In the Ulam, from going in between the Ulam and the Kodesh, there are two massive pillars. The pillars are 18 amos tall. One was called Yochin, and one was called Boaz. On top of the pillar, you have this thing called the capitals, which is what we possibly here says. Let's see. Let's go. Okay. Let's go through the psukim. Let's read the psukim. Then we'll do a little farsha. Pasuk tezva bayas lifnei habayis, before the bayis, which means before you come into the kodesh, amudim, pillars, shnayim, two of them. Amos, how many amos were they in total? Shloishim v'chamesh, which means 17 and a half plus 17 and a half is 35. Why does the pasuk combine their height? Because they made it when they prepared it, was made from copper. It was prepared as one massive piece of 35 amos, and then they cut it in half. So that's why it's described as being one piece, 35. But the truth is, it was split. It was cut into two, 17 and a half and 17 and a half, and they were erected, they were positioned on the two sides of the doorposts going in between the Ulam and the Kodesh. Amos 35 arich v'hatzefes asher al rosho. Okay, the tzefes is what we call in English the capital, which is it's a crown, designer crown, which goes on the top of this pillar. Amos 5 was a height of 5. Okay, it was a height of 5, which brings it to 22. Assuming that it's going to be 18, we're going to round it off to 18, 17, 18, let's round off 17 and a half to 18, for assuming that for the moment. So when you add 5 to 18, we're going to have a total of 23, that will be the grand height. Let's go further. Let's read the psukim until the end of the parak. Now this is the pasuk is digressing. The pasuk says that he made, I do not have a picture for you, but they made chains in the dvir. What's the dvir? The dvir is the wall that separates between the kodesh and the kodesh hakodesh. We're going inside again. We're going back to where the Parochas is. The Parochas is separating from the Kodesh to the Kodesh HaKadoshim. The Parochas was draped over the door. There was a wall and a small opening. And that wall that separated the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadoshim, there was designs on the wall that looked like chains. The Yas Sharsheros chains Badvir. Period. Now you have to really end the Pasuk here, so to speak. That's one concept. New concept. In addition to having chains, designer chains, on that wall that separated the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadoshim, there were also designer chains that were draped around the capitals on the Amudim that stood in the Ulam. Vayitain al Rosh Amudim. What did you put on the Rosh Amudim? So here the Rashi and the Mitzvah says we're referring also to Shar Shros. We're not going to repeat the word because it's assumed from the context that you know what we're talking about, even though we're dealing with a different type of chain and a different location. They put on top of the Amudim chains, Vayas Rimoinim, and on the chains they added the image of pomegranates, Nea 100, Vayitain b'shar shos, they will put on the chains. Pasuk Yitzayin, Vayokem es amudim al pnei ha-heichol, they put the amudim by the opening in the ulam going into the heichol on the side, echad miyamin v'yachad mehasmol, one on the right, one on the left, Vayikra shem hayimoni yochin, v'shem hasmoli boaz. Okay, the two pillars were called Yochin and Boaz. Now if you look at the picture, okay, let's look at the picture. Let me say which picture. Let's look at one picture at a time. Now there are different images. Now, who called the Shlomo? Shlomo and Huram. There were two. Huram is the craftsman. We're going to assume that was the name of the craftsman. He was the Ben Almana from Shevet Dan. The mother was from Shevet Dan. His father was from Shevet Naphtali. We're going to assume that his name was Huram. He had the same name as Hiram Melech Tsar. They share the same name. Coincidence. They happen to have the same name. That's how we're going to assume. Now, there's very little detail that's mentioned here in Sefer Divayim about these capitals, but the details are all here in Sefer Melachim. Now, as far as I know three excellent Sfarim that had illustrations. One is the first page, this sefer from the called the Beis Hamikdash Harishon. It's a three volume set: Beis Hamikdash Harishon, Beis Hamikdash Hasheni, and Beis Hamikdash Hashlishi. Really, it's four volumes. There's also a Mishkan, another volume for the Mishkan. This used to be the sefer for many, many years. There were things from many years ago, 50 years ago, I have that also, old farm. But this used to be, for like 25 years ago, this became extremely popular. And then came out in a phenomenally good sefer called Tavnis Habayis. This really is the cream of the crop, this other sefer. It has everything. It has the Bayis Rishon, Bayis Sheni, Bayis Shlishi. Everything is in that sefer. And it has phenomenal illustrations with a lot of interesting things. And then it's also very good. What's very good, which is relatively very recent, is Art Scroll published the Reuben edition of Nevi'im Rishonim. They just put out Yishai. That's a different day. They call that by a different name because that's Nevi'im Achronim. But Nevi'im Rishonim, Yeshua Shaftim, Shmuel, and Melachim is three volumes. Blue, they're blue. They look like the stone edition of the Chumash. And they have there some fantastic illustrations. Relatively very recent. And they're different. They're all very different. Because the truth is, no one really knows what it looked like. And they're very different. The illustration, as you see here from Beis Hamikdash Harishon, is very different than the description. It's very different than the description from the Sefer Tavnis Habayis. And if you go look in the Art Scroll, you'll find another whole picture which looks nothing like any of these two. Okay, they share, of course, the same ideas, but they are very different. Now, what are the main themes? There are two bowls. If you look at the picture well, but either picture, you'll notice that this capital has two parts. Well, there basically is two bowls. One is put on top of the other. Okay? A bowl. Just imagine, go home to your closet, take out two bowls, and put one on top of the other. That's really what the lower bowl, it's called the Koseres HaTachton. Here we're calling this thing by the word upgraded dictionary, it's called the Tsefes. But in Sefer Melachim, it's called the Koseres, a crown. The Koseres HaTachtoina and the Koseres HaElyoina.
So
there are two bowls. Now, why there are two bowls? So it's, I saw in the Mishpat Zav, he explains, because what is a bowl? A bowl is a clay kibble. It's Mekabel. This world is Mekabel, is a recipient of the Shefa Bracha of the Ribbono Shel Olam. In Shamayim, it's the makor of bracha, but it's a different type. It's also a clay kibble. Hashem also is mashpia upon the creatures in Shemayim. We don't know what goes on there. No one came back to tell us what's going on up there. But up there in Shemayim, there's a lot going on. And everything that's going on there is makabel bracha from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now what's so interesting is, gravity, if you want something to be makabel, it has to go... the receptacle has to go on, be on the bottom. In Shemayim, there are a different set of rules. In Shemayim, you can be Makan clay kibble when it's upside down. There's no gravity in Shemayim. So in Shemayim, you can be a clay kibble even when the bowl is upside down. But the fact is, a bowl is a bowl. A bowl has a base kibble. We don't think of it like that because gravity, it's going to fall out. But if you take away the issue of gravity, it's a clay kibble, whether it's upside down or whether it's right side up.
So that's Pshad.
What?
What was Pshad before Newton?
So the reason why there are two bowls on these Amudim is it represents the Chibur. What is the Beis Hamikdash? It is the Chibur between Shamayim v'Aretz. Aretz is not just a mundane, no man's land. The Aretz is a Mekabel. Shemayim is also a Mekabel, without gravity. Two different forms of Kabbalah. And the Beis Hamikdash is the Mokom where the two utensils, the two things which are Mekabel, come together, are joined together. That's why these Koseros are...
Who says this?
I don't know who says this. I saw this in the Sefer Mishpat Zohar.
There's another Yes. You stand downstairs and you're looking up. You don't see the top there.
Why not? When you're downstairs,
you'll see a ball.
When you're in the Azara,
you see the ball.
No, not necessarily.
You can't see the top of the ball.
When you're downstairs in the Azara,
it was high. You're talking about something that was approximately 35 feet tall.
Yes.
And there's a curved surface.
You have good eyesight.
You see the other side on top of the
if you're standing in front of it.
If you're standing on the ground, you can see. All right. It's there. It is there. On top of that has this thing called the Shushan. The cane has like a flower, Shushan. Okay, Shushan, I don't know what it represents. It represents Malchus, like we have Shushan Habira. It represents Malchus. I don't know what it represents. Shoshanim, flowers, roses. You see over here, the way they illustrate the Shoshanim in this picture is very different than the way they illustrate it in this picture. In addition, you notice there were designs. The upper bowl was had Maiseh Shevacha. Shevacha means lattice work. There was something etched into the texture of the upper bowl. It was more elaborate because in Shemayim, you give more cover to the Beis Shemayim. The lower bowl was very simple, was very posh and mundane, like this world relative to Shemayim is very simple. And what joined the two together? The Rimayinim is the Mekoyim HaChibur. The Rimayinim, the pomegranates, these chains of pomegranates is what went around the point where the two of them came together. What does the Rimayinim signify? You have to go on Avenue L and ask them what it means, what it represents. But the Rimayinim signifies something.
Moli Mitzvahs.
Okay, Moli Mitzvahs. So the Mitzvahs is what brings the two together. And why there are two poles? I saw in the Mitzvahs that he brings the sides different sources because we know in Perek Pirkei Avos, Al Shloisha Dvarim Ha'olam Ha'met, Al HaToyra, V'Al Ha'avoda, V'Al Gemilas Chasadim. The Beis Hamikdash had only two of the three. It had Torah, it was the seat of the Sanhedrin, the Lishkas HaGozis, and the Beis Hamikdash is the Makom of Avoda. But the Beis Hamikdash was not a Makom of Gemilas Chasadim. That's the fact. The facts are, there's no Gemilas Chasadim in the Beis Hamikdash. The Gemilas Chasadim was for us to do out in the world, in Yerushalayim, and in the world is the Makom, is where the Omud of Gemilas Chasadim is to be found. The Beis Hamikdash has these two pillars to represent, this is the location of the two, the Sharish of Torah, the Avoda. One was called Yochanan, one was called Bosel. We're going to see Rashi. Rashi has some very beautiful interpretation of Yochanan and Bosel. Let me just say what it does not say in Rashi. Another interpretation, the whole purpose of Sefer Divrei Hayamim is to give cover to David, Malchus of David. When did David enter the scene? Now there's a whole line, there's Yehuda, and there is Peretz, and you go down the whole line until you get to David and Shlomo. When did David and Shlomo come on the scene? Boaz. Because Boaz is the one who married Ruth Hamoaviah. So the Malchus of David really began his entry into the Davidic line, into the Malchus of Yehuda. Lo Yashem Yehuda entered with Boaz. When did the Malchus of David end in the Bais Rishon to a certain degree? And with Tzidkiyahu. But when did the Churban really begin? 11 years before the Churban Golus, Yehoyachin. Yehoyachin. That's the two pillars. Boaz, the whole purpose is the Malchus, the Beis Hamidosh is Kisei David. Right? We say when you come to though, you cannot separate any Yeshiva Ba'azara El Malchai Beis David Bilvad. David's Malchus in the Bayis Rishon is entry into Shevet Yehuda began with Boaz, and the end of that glorious Tekufa, the Golus of the Beis Hamidosh was Yehoyachin, which is the Sharish of Yochin. That's why it's Boaz and it's Yochan, the two pillars. It was Alpi Ruach. Everything here is Alpi Ruach HaKodesh. We're not dealing over here with. We're dealing right. It was obviously, you know, there's a kina in Tisha B'Av where the theme with the kina is even Adam and the Avos. Everyone knew in advance that it would not be forever. The glorious days of the Bayis Rishon, which was the climax of Kedusha in this world. It was known from the very beginning would only be temporary. There would be a break with a Churban. The Bayis Sheni was not a replacement of the glory of the Bayis Rishon, not in any shape or form. It was just a temporary encouragement to keep us going for the long galus of 2,000 years that would come afterwards, until once again the gula would come. But in Echanami, it was foreseen, al pi ruach hakodesh, this is not going to be forever, and the amudim, the pillars of this holy makom, is a makom of David. David gets credit for the Beis HaMikdash, like we learned 100 times. The Hashem only said, for me it's enough, I'll sit in the tent. I don't need a fancy house. I'll sit in the tent. David said, no. For you, Hashem, we're going to make a bias. Oh, you make a bias? I'm going to reward you, David. You're going to be the melech forever. You're your mishpacha. So it's David's Beis HaMikdash. It's his makom. Because if not for David, the Shechina will be in a tent. Mimele, when does David come in the scene? Boyas. When does he end? Yehoyachin. That's why we have these two pillars. This is something, a very beautiful idea, and Rashi does not say this. Rashi has another couple of fascinating insights. But this is the basic gist of what these pillars look like. This is a really fantastic picture. The one on this page, on the right side, where you get a picture of how it looked. This is the mezuzah going from the ulam. What you see here in front of you is you're standing in the ulam. Ulam is, it's very small. It's a lobby. It's a very, not like, you know, today you build lobbies. The lobbies are bigger than the buildings sometimes. That's the style of architecture today. If you go back into the old, go back 100 years ago, they didn't do that. 100 years ago, look at the old buildings, it was not in style to build large lobbies. You basically walked from the street almost into the sanctuary. That was the style. The Bialystok in the Lower East Side. There's no lobby. You basically walk teeny little lobby. The lobby is maybe 10 feet. It's nothing. You basically walk in from the street. You walk up the big steps and you walk into... You walk into the sanctuary. What? The old shoes are not today.
Even Kingsway has a small.
Right. No, that was a style. This was also, that was really a church. Everyone knows that the Bialystok was built as a church. Right. It was not built as a shul.
Right.
They never moved in. The church
all
went
the
bankrupt.
Inside, except for the Calvaria and Allen Street. That's it. They all were church.
And it was not. Today, that's not the way it's done. Today, if you go to Chaim Berlin, okay, Chaim Berlin was built 20 years ago. The lobby is massive.
It was built as a yeshiva, and the yeshiva was built later.
It was built as a where? Who?
Chaim Berlin was built.
No, but I'm just saying, I'm just giving you an example. It's not, when they, today, the way the way buildings are designed today, the way it, new buildings, go to Chofetz Chaim in Queens. It's a very big lobby. Any new structure today, that's the way you build a building. You build it with a big lobby.
Look at Young Israel, Jay. No lobby.
No, that's not a that was not built with a. Don't ask me. No, that was not built. It was a house, and it was construction with no major change in the layout in order not to have to get permits and all these type of things. That wasn't built from scratch. It wasn't built starting. If you have a real architect, you build a big lobby.
So, that's a huge lobby.
Oh, okay. So you see that. But in the Beis HaMikdash, there was no big lobby. In the Beis HaMikdash, the Ulam is the lobby, and it's teeny. It's a teeny little lobby of 10 amos, coming into the massive 40 amos and into 20 amos. And in front, you see here these two massive pillars. And these massive pillars represent... Okay, look.
You can see the pillars were in the ulam.
No, so seemingly you could. Look at this picture. Look
from
at this.
Outside.
On this picture, you're standing in the Azara. You could see the pillars.
But this is 10. All right. The ulam was 10, right?
Yeah.
And when you went from the ulam into the kodesh,
yeah,
that's where you have the...
You're overwhelmed.
You have the amud.
Right.
But no one went in there.
But if you're standing outside in the Azara, l'chori, you can see the amud.
Look, you had to go down pillars, steps down to the Mizbeach, and then steps down into the Ezra Sisra. You're always on a lower level, you're looking up to the kodesh.
Okay. You have to look at the models. Go look at the models. L'chori, you could see the pillars. Let's read the Mitsudos and the Rashi's on these parts. A lot of very interesting things. Okay, so the pasuk Tezov. Look at the Mitsudos pasuk Lefnei Abdabayis Bechlal Ha'ulam Shloisha V'Chamesh Arech Shal Shneim Yachad. It was 35 in total. Very strange thing how why the pasuk describes the combined length of the two pillars, a grand total of 35, meaning the two are intertwined. These two pillars are very mystical. These pillars represent the connection between the Beis HaMikdash and the world above. Everything is very mystical. The two pillars, we're describing their combined length, 35, which was broken down into 17 and a half and 17 and a half. The Atzafes, this was the modern word of the day to replace the word Koiseres of Melachim. The Atzafes, Hi HaKoiseres HaAmur B'Melachim Aleph. This is the same thing as the Koiseres that's mentioned in Melachim Aleph. The Karuhe Tzafes, Lefi Shehoisa Tzafui. The reason why it's called Tzafes is Tzaf, it floats. It floated, it covered, it was the crown. Koiseres obviously comes from the word crown. Koiseres, and the crown floats upon the head of the pillar. The kisui al ha'amud milamal. Vayasharshros, there were chains. Now we have to remember, now we're discussing two entirely different concepts. Obviously there's a relationship, the fact of being brought together, but there are two concepts. There were chains separating the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKodashim, images of chains that were put onto the wall, and there were chains also that were attached to the Koiseres. Bidvir, Hamechitza Hahi, Nikra Dvir, the wall between the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKodashim is called the Dvir, Kamoi base Kodesh HaKodashim Atzma, like the Kodesh HaKodashim, because the word Dvir is the word that is used to describe the Kodesh HaKodashim itself. Why? Dvir comes from the word Dvar, the word of Hashem. Hashem spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu in the Ohel Moed in front of the Kapoires, in front of the Aron. The Dvar Hashem comes from the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So the Kodesh HaKadoshim is called the Dvir. The wall separating the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadoshim is also called the Dvir.
Dvir, can also refer to the Beis HaMikdash as a whole, as in
the Virka as a whole as well. Fine. Vayitin al rosh hamudim nosan sharshros. The pasuk says, in addition to putting chains on the wall that separated the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadoshim, Shlomo also put chains on the Koisaros. Nosan sharsh al rosh hamudim b'vchem hoyu akarimoinim. And on the chains were attached with pomegranates. How many pomegranates? There were 200. Two rows of chains, each chain had 100 pomegranates. Uvahem hoyu harimoinim charuzim, they were stitched. The harimoinim were stitched on a string. Ulufish zoch amila sharshros betchilas hamikra choshre kan. That Rashi just make a grammatical point that even though we're dealing with two different things, it's as if the word sharsh repeated twice. The sonach ala maven, we are assuming you understand what we're talking about. Vial sheinim b'mokam v'im sheinim v'im sheinim. Even though it's not in the same place as the previous sharshros. The previous sharshros was on a wall that was 40 amos forward, and these sharshros are in a different location. But it's self-understood from the context that we're dealing with two different chains of pomegranate, two different chains in two different locations. The pomegranates were only put on the chains of the pillars. There were no pomegranates put on the chains on the wall that's separate between the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Okay, now we have how many pomegranates? Neya l'chol tur. 100 pomegranates for each row. So how many pomegranates did the contract have to provide? 400. Each a Koiseres had two rows, and each row had 100 pomegranates for a total of 400. Tav is the largest letter in the Aleph Beis. There must be some significance in that as well. Okay, we corny called Yochin. The simin tom sheyochin abayis loatz. Well, the simple reason, like I told you, a very nice medrash, Jewish of Yochin Boaz, but shlufi pshutoi Yochin. It's a bracha. It's a simin tov that the mikdash should be well established. The simin tom sheyochin abayis loatz. Boaz who milam rukeves Boaz. In Hashem is might, Boaz. Rotzoloimar, the Abayis HaZayim, so Oiz V'Choizek Lishol, in this Abayis shall be found strength and might for, so the Bo means in Klal Yishol. It's a Simen Bracha. It should be Yochin, it should be established, and Boy in Klal Yishol, may there be Oiz, Hashem Oz Li'amo Yitein. May there be Oz. Okay, so this is, now let's go take a look at the Rashi. Rashi has some very fascinating Midrashim. To elaborate, we have a pasuk tesvav, a shloishim v'chamesh arich. The height, the combined height of the two pillars was 35. Koyma of Melachim when we say Melachim it says vayitzer es shtei hamudim nechayshas yud ches amos. Contradiction. Divrei Hayam it says the combined height of two together. there is 35. 35 divided by 2 is 17 and a half. And there it says it's 18. How do we reconcile the contradiction? Perush Rabbeinu Shlomo, Zechet Tzadik Levracha, Yitzakam Shneim Kiechad, they were molded together, they were made from copper. We learned yesterday that in Sefer Divrei Hayom, we don't mention materials. And we do mention a little bit, but not much. We only want to focus on gold. Since the entire purpose of this book is to give kavod to David, giving kavod is you only refer to the most expensive material, you don't even bother referring to the wood. And copper, we try to stay away from mentioning those materials, whereas in Divrei Blachim, we're not ashamed to tell you that it was wood, and it was copper, and other types of material. So first, the Yitzhakim, they were casted as in copper, as one kechad, the shuv chilkam they would divide the shnayim. The amah hachasera ena chashuva lefi sheena is ena chashuva lefi sheena dem lemelech hashar ha'amot. It's not similar to the other portion. Kmo sheomar sham beinyan v'al roish amud masay perach shushan. It's not important that we. One more time. The extra ama is not important. Ain't chashuva. Lefish ain't a doim. Lebelech hashar ha'amud. Kmo shamar sham beinyan. V'al rosh ha'amudim on the very, very top, the tip, like you see in the pictures, is masay perach, the blossoming of a shoshan, a flower, shoshan. The gam Rabbi Yosef perish kain v'lo nira. D'mal lanu gava yudches. Why then would it tell us that the height is 18? Elakach shamati vada yitzakim shneim kiachod v'yachakach cholkam l'shneim v'nimtzu kol echod yudzayin amo v'chetzi. Okay, I'm not sure what he means.
You know, the first shot makes sense that when they put on the crown.
Yeah.
So the crown was like sat on top of the.
Exactly. So it was lost. Overlapped. That's what it says in Sefer Melachim. It overlapped. It overlaps slightly with.
So that's why you got 17 and a half.
That's why. It overlaps slightly
with the column.
Half of the Amma was taken up. The pillar was really, really in truth 18. It was really 18. But the Kaiseres
didn't count.
The Kaiseres had to be
mounted
on top of the pillar, and the mounting cut in or overlapped the pillar by a half an amma, and that's why when you looked at it, you only saw it to be 17 and a half.
And it also hit the cutting.
It hit the roughness of the cutting. Okay, Nechonam, it's for the beauty. So that's the basic interpretation. Rashi here is saying something else, which I'm not really clear, I'm not really sure what he means, so we'll leave that. But in the Sefer Melachim, that's what it says. It says that it was overlapped. It overlapped. It covered over, and that's why we're missing. The atzefes. He, so Rashi, he says something. Says the mesudziyak neva sham of yoichatzi amla. This the same thing that says over there. The thickness was a chatzi amla. So the thickness of the kaseres, which overlapped, I think what he's saying over here, was a chatzi amla. Harei kol echod yud ches amla. So that's what it seems to be saying, is that overlap by a chatzi amla. Tzefes he utzafui. What is the word tzefes? Tzefes is similar to the word tzafui, like we learned before, like the mitzudos, to float or to cover, to overlap. Kamova yitzpa oisam zohav, he overlaid it with gold. Kolemar ha yosu kimin kaveya, cholulu is like a hat. Hollow, the of ye chatzi amla. The thickness that overlapped was a chatziyama milamata. Kishahupchu vinosnu al ha'amud. Vinimsa ha'oive chatziyama hare yud ches amos. Karir koseris lashem keser kidosiv shnei koseros. There it's called keser, here it's called tsafui. They mean the same type of idea. It was a crown. It also overlaid the pillars. It overlaid it by a chatzi amma. So really, that's how we come to a total of 18.
Do we know what it was made out of?
Well, it could be also, it was made from bronze. It was made from nechoshes. It could be also, it could be another interpretation. I'm not mistaken. What Rashi really means over here is that the pillar itself, if you look at this picture, I think it seems to show, it shows, you see a line. Okay, you see there's a little line, you have the koseres, and under the koseres there is a little line. Because it could be that the pillar itself was really 17 and a half. And the koseres had the bottom portion of the Keseres was a chatzi amah that was identical to the size of the pillar, and the two were glued together. So since the base of the Keseres was identical to the form of the pillar, when you look at the pillar, you think you're looking at a pillar that is 18 amos. The truth is the pillar was only 17 and a half. But the Keseres, built into the Keseres, there was a base, not like the other pshat. The other pshat was the pillar was really exactly 18 amos. But the Keseres overlapped with the pillar by a chatzi amah. So it took away, it diminished from the true pillar's height of 18 amos to 17 and a half. That's one pshat. Other pshat is no. The pillar was exactly 17 and a half. But the Keseres had a base of a chatzi amah, which was identical in form to the pillar, and it was glued to the pillar to make it a total in appearance of exactly 18 amos. That's what Rashi appears to be saying in his second interpretation. Okay, pasuk tezayin, vayitein b'sharshos, he put chains. Also sharshos b'roshat tzefes mitachtov, he put chains on the bottom. Which part of the bottom? With soicher sharshos kavat suos rimonim kedil chasos chalat tzefes to cover the chalat tzefes. Because the civil chasos is shnei gulos hakaseres to cover the two gulos, the gulos of the bowls. Okay, gulos, the Keseres in Sefer Melachim tells us that the Keseres, like we described before, was made by taking two bowls and connecting them. And around the location of the connection, there was these two chains, and on the two chains were 100 pomegranates on each row of chains. Yalshem chaloloi karilohem gulos, the reason why they're called bowls is because there was a hollow space. There was a hollow space that makes into a bowl. Kemo kezu hashachav shekosav sham. Now he says something else different. Now when it says here in Sefer Melachim that there was sharsharos, it says shechava, lattice work, so he's saying that the lattice work is the same thing as the chains. That's not all the Mepharshim agree to that. Some learn that the sharsharos and the maisa shevacha are different. And that's what you see here in the picture from the Sefer Tavnes Habayis. But in the first picture I gave you, it seems that he's going with that approach, is that the Shevacha indeed is the chains. Okay. Flushed on Nafim branch, Kmobisvach, Lakar, and Aviesham. Some say Kufya. I don't know what that means. Or Beleza Perish, Anof means branches. Okay, so basically, there are different interpretations. Look at the two different.
Was the Yachman Boa solid?
Yeah.
It's solid?
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. Yeah, that's right. Sure. I don't know. I do not know. But just look at the two different pictures. They're very different. In this picture, the design on top are the actual chains. In this picture, there was a separate design on top, and the chains went around when the two bowls connected. There are chains which are join the two bowls together. Rashi here is giving us one interpretation, other Mepharshim a different interpretation. That's why you have different pictures, different ways of looking at it. And now we come to the Yochanan Boyas. Al pnei ahechol, al pesach ahechol, b'chutz, b'ulam, g'demuchach, b'koseret asher al rosh amudim, ulam hechol, ma'is, shushka, that we before, ha'mi yimin, ha'pesach, ha'mismo, pesach. Now we come to Yochanan, well, let's finish up Yochanan Boyas. Why would they call Yochanan Boyas? Yochanan was Yochin al Shem Malchus Beis David. Shenimshal liyoreach kedosiv kirech yikoin lo oilam. Okay, Rashi is giving a new interpretation. Yochanan Boyas corresponds to the moon and the sun. That the Malchus of David is the one hand is called the moon, because the moon reflects the purpose of the Klal Yisrael. We count our months based upon the moon. We reflect the light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. On the other hand, it's also our old Kiddush Levana is associated with Malchus of David, but it's also like the sun. So Yochin represents the moon, and Boaz represents the sun. Why does the word Yochin represent them? Because the word Yochin appears in connection with the moon, like it says in the pasuk, Ki yoreach yikoin oilam. May his Malchus be established forever like the moon. Just like the moon is not going anywhere, and in fact the moon gets 15 days of the month, it gets greater and greater, it gets larger, it waxes. That's, we want the Malchus of David to become great, get greater and greater. Boyas, the Boyas in the parentheses, in my version it says that's the sun. The sun comes out, boy oiz, it comes out with might. Shenemar, yosis kegibor larutz, may you rejoice like a gibor larutz who runs forth. The sun runs forth, and that's the oz, the might. The habez, the boaz, kemo mem benoach yinachamenu. I'm not exactly sure what he means over here. Ki mehashem shiltiu. It's not part of the shoresh. The beis is not part, it's not the main word. The main word is the oz, and the beis means that in the Malchus of David there is might, and the might that we're referring to is the Shemesh. Okay, another interpretation he gives: Even though, why is the right called the moon? If one is going to be the sun, one's going to be the moon. You would make the right the sun, because the sun, the right, is always more chashuv. And the Boaz refers to the sun. So he's asking, why then is the right the moon and the left the sun? It doesn't matter. So he doesn't address that question. It should be established like the areach, not like the levana which diminishes, but like the levana which gets greater. Okay, I don't know what this means. Yeah,
coming from the other way out, it's right and left.
It doesn't seem that's going backwards. It doesn't seem that the pasuk makes it very clear. He called the right Yochin and the left Boaz. Okay, I don't know. I don't understand what Rashi means. I don't know what he means. So for right now, we'll leave it. Dover Acher, who called it? Who's the one that called it? So according to the first interpretation, it was Shlomo that called it. Dover Acher Chiram, he was the craftsman. Shoyim b'nei Don, osa es amudim kore sa'echad yochin, al shem oviv shimshayin. New insight. Chiram was a descendant of Shimshon HaGibor. And what did Shimshon HaGibor do? How did he die? Mimikad Hashem Shemayim. He stood between the amudim, vayelafes. And he pulled them, he pushed them out, and the building collapsed. So therefore, since the craftsman is Chiram, he named the pillars after his father, Shimshon. And because it says the word Nochon, which is the same Sharish as Yochin, in reference to the two pillars of the stadium of the Pelishtim, which Shimshon pushed. It says in the pasuk, the Rachim, which Shem Don Asa Esamudim, Kares Echad Yochin Al Shem Oviv Shimshon Shnemabo, Vayilafes Shimshon Shnei Amude HaTavach. He pushed them. He shook them, and the building collapsed. And it says there, the two pillars, Ashnei amude hatavoch asher habayis nochoin olof. Okay, the pasuk goes on to say, and which the bayis was nochon, was resting, was supported by. V'shloim akar l'sheni bo. So he only was able to call one side. And Shlomo called the other one Boaz. The Shlomo called the Shani Boaz. Hashem Ziknoi Boaz. Dugma b'Yikol Lo Love and Yagar Sadusa. And this fits perfectly in line with what I told you about the two lions. In other words, who here is building this? Who here? Rashi is going back to Lishtos in the previous parak. Who here is building this Beis Hamikdash? This is Ma'isa Avos Simla Banim. Just like the Mishkan was built by Bitzalel Ben Uri Ben Chor Lamate Yehuda, in partnership with Oholiyav ben Achis Samach Lamate Don, the Godol Shebishvatim, with the Pocho Shebishvatim, the greatest of the Shvatim, Yehuda the Melech, with Don, the Bnei HaShefachos, so to the base Hamigdash is being built in the partnership between Shlomo, a descendant of Yehuda, with Churam, who was a Ben Isha Almana from Shevet Don. And to symbolize this, each one names one of the pillars after their ancestor. Yeah?
You're saying, but it should be after the father. Was Shimshon from Naphtali?
Shimshon was from Don. Right, Don.
Yeah, but Rashi says,
He was a Ben. His father was Naphtali. His mother was from Don. Right. He was a Ben Ish Almana. She was from Shevet Don. And his father was from Shevet Naphtali.
You go after the father.
Okay, it's a kasha. It's a kasha, but he still has blood. He still has blood of Don. I don't know the answer. I don't know.
He didn't even know him.
What? Okay, obviously, what? Okay, but he was a descendant. The blood of the Shimshon was so dominant in his yichus that people associated him with Shevet Dan more than Shevet Naphtali. That's what it says. He named it after his ancestor, the Gibor, Shimshon HaGibor, and that is when you come into the Beis HaMikdash, what do you see? What is the most majestic thing? You walk into the Azara, you see two pillars. One pillar represents Sheva Yehuda, and one pillar represents Sheva Dan. The Gadol Sheva Shvatim and the Kadon Sheva Shvatim. Why? Everyone here, everyone is equal in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Your Yichus doesn't count for nothing. What counts here in the Beis HaMikdash is who you are. Who you are, everyone is the same. No one should say you don't belong here. And I taught, this is very much in line in on the paroches. What do you have on the paroches in the shul? You also have pillars, and what rest upon the two pillars? Lions, two lions. Why the two lions? Because in the bracha of Moshe, who's compared to a lion? Don Gur Aryeh,
right.
And in the bracha of Yehuda, who's compared to a lion? Yehuda is compared to a lion.
Right.
So both Don and Yehuda are compared to lions.
Right.
You have two lions: the lion of Yehuda and the lion of Don. Just like we have two pillars in the Beis Hamikdash, the Mikdash is founded on the pillar of Yehuda together with the pillar of Don. Everyone is equal before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, no matter where you come from, no matter what yichus you have.
Statistically,
yeah.
The passage says twice Yamin. It says Yochem is Amudim Yamin, and then by Yikra Shem HaYamin. Why didn't they? We've been used to a style where he leaves out words, not to repeat the words.
Okay, so there must be something. I don't know the answer. There must be something over here important.
What do you make of that last line?
Yeah, with Rashi. The Rashi.
What
phrase in Rashi?
Love and like you have a partnership between. A partnership between Lavan and Yaakov. Yigar Sadus Yaakov Karloi Galed. So I think what he's referring to is that each one gave their own name. I think he's referring to the end of the pasuk. The Yaakov and Lavan made a treaty. This week's parasha. They made a partner treaty. But each one called the mound by a different name.
So it's not just simply the naming of a piece of rock.
It's two different. There are two partners in this rock, and each one gives it its own name. This Beis Hamikdash is being founded by two people, by Shlomo and by Huram. Each one gives it his name. Huram gives the name Boaz after his ancestor, and Shlomo gives it the name Boaz after his ancestor, just like the mound of stones that was erected as a sign between the joint structure that was erected between Lavan and Yaakov was also given two names. Yaakov called it Galed, and Lavan called it Yigar Sohadusa.
The shul in Bnei Brak, the official name is the Chazon Ish.
Yeah.
Letterman was the one who built it.
Mama, the one who gave the money.
So they called it after Letterman.
Look, in art school, what do you call the art school in America? Not in America. No one calls it Shanstein in America. Everyone in America calls it art school. Art school. You know, you never hear the word Shanstein. Yeah, in Eretz Yisrael, they never heard the word art school. Shanstein. Which Gemara do you want? I use the Shanstein. Okay, just a matter of. Whatever. So this concludes the sugya. Yochin Uboyaz. I think basically we came out with three different mahalchim and why they're called Yochin Uboyaz. One refers to the beginning of the malchus and the end of the malchus. David's entry into Klal Yisrael began with Boaz and ended with the Golus of Yehoyachin. Second interpretation, Yochin and Boaz refers to the sun and the moon. The malchus of David should be like the moon that's established and like the sun that's Boaz. Each one has a milo. Shnei hamo'oyos ha'gidoylem. Ha'mo'or ha'gadol ve'amor ha'katon. And the third interpretation is we have a partnership between Huram and Shlomo, Yehuda and Don. Each one is going to give recognition to where they come from and ties nicely into the... Okay, we will stop here.